Or, I mean,
A 3 seed in what?
David, I mean, that's a big win for them. They maybe can. Oh, wait. No,
Good evening, everybody. We're on the air. We're on the air, guys. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another Championship Week video notebook. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Hey, and coming here now, there were two teams that went winless in conference. Rutgers was not one of them. That's all I got to say. Boston College and Chicago State were. We're going to be discussing those two teams next week, I believe. But first of all, joining us tonight, first of all, we got David Griggs back. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Early in the morning.
We also have John Salika. John, you awake over there? I guess not.
Yeah,
John, you're even here.
John can hear us.
Where it's great because John's.
Yes,
John's,
I'm here, but
okay, there,
okay. He is. There he is. He's awake. Okay,
like, and there were three different Wookiees speaking at one point.
Yeah. Finally, Lee Del Vecchio joining us for the first time during these video championship video notebooks. Lee, how are you?
I'm good. This is one of my favorite days of the year. This Saturday with the. With the West Coast Conference quarterfinals, which have games just going just preposterously late, and it's just a lot of fun because you get conference play all day, and you always get a token Arch Madness upset, and we saw that today again.
We did, and we want to get right into these games here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up on my screen the if we can here, I'm going to pull up the brackets. Maybe we won't. Should be cut off every second. Is it there?
No.
Wow, that's a hell of a bracket.
Yeah, there it is. Chimp Week.
Chimp, yeah.
Okay, wait, sorry.
That's My eyes are bad because I thought we were doing a Teen Wolf movie review.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing Chimp Week. We are doing the games. Actually, before we even get to those games, let's put the chimp back up here. Before we get to the bracketed games, we had two automatic bids clinched tonight, and one of them was in the Ivy League. Where congratulations to the Yale Bulldogs.
Chad, yes. Why do we have a chimp up as our graphic when talking about the... Never mind.
Okay. Would you rather we put up the Ohio Valley Conference? Okay, there's the Ohio Valley Conference. Now David's happier.
Yeah.
David, we had two bids given out tonight in the Ohio Valley and the Ivy League. Let's start with the Ivy League, though, where Columbia got their first bid since 1962 with a 71-55 win over Columbia. I'm sorry.
You want to try that one again?
Yale got the bid with the win over Columbia.
It was amazing. Columbia getting a bid with a win over Columbia. For those of you that missed it, it was incredible.
Okay, it is 2:33 a.m. Come on, give me a little here.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, it's like clockwork. It really is. Every 53 years, Yale's right back in there.
Once every five presidents they produce,
yes.
They get a bid. So, you know, there have been five Yale alums as presidents since their last bid. And, you know, not only because they get the bid, but considering last year that friggin' Dartmouth game, the way they lost was just so heartbreaking. Then they lose the tiebreaker. And then they didn't even get an NIT bid, which is still baffling. And this year they use all that as motivation. I mean, there's really serious issues going around with that program right now with the Jack Montague accusations that are really troubling for a variety of reasons. But in a basketball sense, a great achievement for James Jones, who has been the head coach at Yale for over a decade. And what a concept,
wow.
Showing patience with a coach who does a solid job and not – freaking the heck out because he doesn't make the tournament in his first 5 years. You know, the expectations are different in the Ivy League, but in a variety of ways. And it's, you know, it's tougher in a lot of ways to do what they do in the Ivy League because of the way that the regular season is until next year when they'll have one, I think, no tournament. And I'm really just thrilled for James Jones more than anyone else to get Yale finally back to the tournament and a very, very dangerous 12 seed in my bracket.
I agree. It's a dangerous team here, but that was one of two bids I was given out today. The other one came in the Ohio Valley Conference, where we watched the culmination of 4 days of not only upsets, but an Austin Peay team that went through probably the best four teams in the Ohio Valley Conference. And then after that thrilling overtime game last night, I didn't think they'd have anything left today and just pounded Tennessee Martin, honestly. you know, best team in the Valley, right, John?
Yeah, it's been 8 years since Austin Peay has represented the Ohio Valley, and I guess if people haven't noticed their mascots, the Monopoly Man is in the NCAA tournament this year.
Well, prior to the start of this run, they had a losing record, and again, like, they were losing really bad to – at no point during the season – had they shown that they could play anything like this. Like, and even when they won, they barely won. Like, winning at home against SIU Edwardsville by 3, and, it, you know, winning against in Southeast Missouri, like, most of their wins were sub-300 wins. This, I know it's the Ohio Valley, I know that it's a little bit below the sideline, and it didn't really have the same effect as when Georgia won the SEC tournament that 1 year after only winning 4 regular season games. But this was a legitimate surprise that they came in. They had to win their last, was it 2 games, just to get into the tournament as the last team.
So they had to, really, to win their last 2 games and get help. They needed Eastern.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, again, like, this really is shocking that they not just won it, but really at no point during the year, at least not that I saw, did they give any indication that they were capable of playing the way that they did today and yesterday, really.
So, in other words, should I be making a run to Las Vegas to put a bet on Nicholls State to win the South one now?
It would be about on those lines.
I mean, going with our friend Ken Pomeroy, Austin Peay had a 0.5% chance to win the Ohio Valley. I mean, for me, it's what David mentioned. It's for them to even have been in the tournament in the Ohio Valley, the things that had to happen. And then to just, I mean, go Warriors style through this tournament. It's not that they were 0-2 to start the year. I mean, it was exciting that they averaged 75 possessions in their games against Vanderbilt and Indiana. I mean, they lost the games by a combined 65 points. So, you know, that probably was a problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they started out 0-4. They've played two non-Division I teams, and that's not even to speak of the rest of their schedule. After their second game of the year, they did not play a team inside of the top 120 in Division I. And they were very bad against pretty much all of it. And yeah. Then to go into this tournament, and it's really with the way their style is, though, they truly just got hot. They're an up and down team in terms of pressing high tempo, and just they were hitting everything. Sometimes it works for a tournament game. The fact that it worked 4 games in a row is what's so incredible to me. I mean, this is already. I'll be stunned if anything remotely close to this unbelievable happens in the next 7 days.
Well, this is, I mean, Austin Peay on their way to Dayton in the first 4 in all likelihood here, unless we have 5 more of these that happen. But let's keep going here. We got a lot to get through here, not that much time. Let's go over to the Missouri Valley Conference, where we saw Northern Iowa with the overtime win over Wichita State, followed by Evansville pounding Indiana State, setting up the conference tournament final that I predicted 3 or 4 nights ago, Evansville and UNI. But what a game that was between Northern Iowa and Wichita State, back and forth into overtime, UNI picking up the win.
Yeah, nice win for Northern Iowa. I really think Ben Jacobson, despite how inconsistent they've been, considering how young they are and where they are now, I think he's done a fantastic job coaching this team. He really is a good coach, and this is a very healthy program that's having a down year. When you're having a down year like this, it means your program is really good. Wichita, I think they'll be our first team that does not come off the survival board. They're going to remain in italics. I don't think it's guaranteed that they get in, but I think that their chances are way more than 50%. They are in the rankings. They didn't have really horrible losses. I mean, they weren't good. They weren't the tournament caliber teams, but they weren't awful teams that beat them either. And outright first place team, somewhat healthy RPI. I think the committee takes them.
It's kind of interesting, Wichita, seeing noted bracketologists out there, some of them calling Wichita locked to be in, some of them, like our friend Jerry Palm, saying Wichita's out entirely. Yeah. Depends on how much you disregard a little bit of what happened with the injuries. It depends on how much credit you do give for winning a conference, especially when it's a down conference this year in the Missouri Valley. So there's a lot of factors in there that the committee's going to have to evaluate with this team. I could see this team on the 7 line. I could see them out entirely. That's how wild it is.
If you put a lot of stock into Ken Pomeroy's ratings, I don't see how the Shockers would miss the field, although I think they're probably going to wind up somewhere in the 9 to 10 seed range as of right now.
Right.
I believe only one top 30 Ken Pom team has ever failed to make this field, and Wichita State is 10th. So I think the idea of this team not being in the tournament is insane. But I also agree with Chad. They could be a 7. They could be out. They could be pretty much anywhere in between, other than as a 16 seed first format.
Well,
that's the only thing I can confidently say won't happen.
I would amend that's only one top 20 Ken Pom team has ever missed, and that was Dayton back about 4 or 5 years ago. There have been
I knew it was Dayton. I didn't remember what the number I got wrong. Sorry about that.
Well, but, anyway, Chad, is it time for our nightly correspondence here?
Do we want to do that right now?
While
we're in the Missouri Valley, correspondence
is about Wichita. What we're doing, Lee's a little new, is that we are corresponding with Committee Chairman Joe Castiglione every night on the show via Twitter.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm about to send him a tweet, and then he'll tweet back. He didn't last night for some reason. But the idea is that we're the only show that is actively communicating with the committee. So here we are. There's the tweet. I know you're checking the survival board, but just a reminder, Wichita State still needs to be considered. And we're going to send this to him right now. There it goes. And I'll let you know when he responds.
Okay. All right. That's good. Thank you. Real quick, John, another feature. This is very quick. Can you please attempt to spell the name of the star player for the Evansville Purple Aces?
I guess you're not talking about John T, but I'm going to
no.
Let's see. Mockavicious. MockavicIUS.
That was very close, but you were incorrect. Couple things. One, you didn't spell Edigius. And it's MockeVicius.
All right.
I'm sorry. You're
going to move off now, the spelling bee now. Come on here.
You're now doomed to watch the entire first day of the American Conference Tournament.
Let's keep going here. I'm from the spelling bee. We're going to move over to the Northeast Conference semifinals again today. The later of the two games, Wagner and LIU Brooklyn, was good for about 30 minutes before Wagner put it away, but that fairly Dickinson, another very entertaining home win, this time over Mount St. Mary's. That was another – both these fairly Dickinson games have been just so much fun to watch for some reason.
Yeah, and whoever it is that's doing the play-by-play for Fairleigh Dickinson, we need to reach out to them and get them on this show. This guy was having a conniption the entire game. It was great. I turned down everything else, and that was the audio I was listening to.
It's always fun. their guy goes pretty nuts. It was fairly ridiculous, that game, if you ask me. No, just tremendously entertaining affair. I don't particularly like FDU's chances at Wagner. We seem to have unfortunately lost Jot. But Chad, I mean, you've seen, I don't know if you've seen both of these teams this year, but you've seen some NEC action. Do you think Fairleigh Dickinson's got a shot going into Wagner? I mean, this is a really good Wagner team.
I saw Wagner play live at Monmouth earlier this year. They got their doors blown out, but I was not that impressed with this Wagner team all year. I actually thought that this entire conference here, we could almost pick a name out of a hat for who was
going to win among
the 8 teams. Yeah. And to see the top 2 seeds in the championship game is almost strange given how much parity there was in this conference this year. So I definitely think Fairleigh Dickinson has a shot. And right now I'm going to pick Fairleigh Dickinson to win that game coming up Tuesday night, actually.
All right. I mean,
it's not a good sign when your potential conference champion is losing to St. John's earlier this year.
It is if you're the Northeast Conference. Come on, John.
If Syracuse wins the ACC, that would still be true. Also, I mean, the thing about it is it's a one versus two matchup, and I feel confident in saying no matter who wins, they're still going to Dayton. I mean, this is the NEC needs some Big Sky and Southland and like Horizon League craziness, which actually not even Horizon League, they can't get that. But the NEC winner will be going to Dayton along with Austin Peay.
All right, let's go on to the semifinals today, also in the Big South, with that being the second of three different championship games tomorrow, the Missouri Valley championship game tomorrow, also the Big South title game. Winthrop and UNCS are both kind of cruising today. Not too exciting either of these games. High Point did not expect them to win despite being the one seed with John Brown being out. So we get the Asheville-Winthrop championship game tomorrow. David, who do you like in it?
I mean, I don't know if we're ready to crown them Stony Brook yet. I believe this is Winthrop's third appearance in this championship game in a row, and I think they lose it for the third year in a row. I think Asheville didn't have the best season, but they've looked the best to me in this tournament, and I think Asheville gets it done tomorrow.
All right. Let's move on here, and John, I want to bring you into the next conference here, the Colonial. This was a conference we were really looking forward to today, four quarterfinals. We thought there was one potential blowout that we did have in the Hofstra-Drexel game, but the other three were pretty good games, especially that Wilmington-Charleston game. Your takeaways from these quarterfinal games today?
Charleston certainly made Wilmington sweat. I believe they had a lead by as much as, 13 or 14 in the first half before the Seahawks came back. I mean, Northeastern is not really that much of a surprise given what their expectations were preseason. But I still think the big semifinal coming up tomorrow is going to be between Joby's William and Mary team as well as Hofstra.
Yeah, Lee, what do you think about these two semifinals tomorrow? Who do you have winning them?
I mean, it's tough because my pick to win this tournament when it started out was, I mean, not that it was a bold one, but was UNC Wilmington. I think they've been the best team in the league all year, but that's a Northeastern team that, I mean, I don't want to just say they scheduled tough. Let me check the full number. I don't want to assume just because they played Michigan State they scheduled tough. They actually did.
Played Miami.
77 strength is 70, obviously they and the win at Miami. So they've got, you know, experience in tough games, but at the same time, those were games with no expectations, no pressure. This is a different scenario entirely. I think Wilmington wins that game. I think it's very close. On the other side, I'd love to root for William and Mary. I mean, you know, but I just think Hofstra's got too much talent, too much quality. They've got Wanya Green, who's the best player in the league. You know, they're second in the league in offensive efficiency, they're third in defensive efficiency. William and Mary, meanwhile, I mean, they are the most – it is a matchup. Hofstra and William and Mary are the best offenses in the Colonial. But William & Mary is one of the worst defenses, and I do think that probably is a bad thing for them. So I'm going to take Hofstra and Wilmington in a very boring 1-2 final.
I had a thought, but I already forgot it. Oh, yeah, just Northeastern, real quick on them. They've been, to me, really disappointing. This is the same team that won the league a year ago. It's the same team that had a chance to beat Notre Dame, had a shot to win in the final minute in the NCAA tournament last year. It's the same team that beat Miami. They have not always played up to their ceiling, but their ceiling is really high when they do play up to it. I think regardless of whoever it is that gets out of this tournament, it's a really difficult first-round matchup, especially if it's Wilmington or Hofstra.
Yeah, but I mean, Northeastern also lost to Mother Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also had a 6-game losing streak in league. They went from 4-2 to 4-8. And this is, look, as long as they avoid teams from Michigan, they're fine. They lost at Detroit, at Western Michigan, and then a home game to Michigan State. Now, one of those things is not like the other. But as long as they aren't matched up with any team from the state of Michigan, I could see them making noise, but it's hard for me to pick them to win a tournament game just because when they're bad, I mean, it's real bad.
Yeah.
Let's keep moving here and move on over to the Southern Conference, where we had two blowouts in the evening sessions as East Tennessee State and Furman both kind of cruised. But we had a couple of really good games in the afternoon. Chattanooga got all they could handle from Samford. And then we had a double overtime game with Western Carolina knocking out Wofford, setting up three out of the top four seeds moving to the semifinals tomorrow. David, your thoughts on those games today?
First of all, real tremendous effort by Samford today for a program that was a complete mess, had a good start to the season, had a bad end to the season, and then I think that that game will give them some momentum going in the next year. But having said that, Chattanooga, after looking so good out of conference and holding serve for much of conference, the last week or so of the season, dropping some of the games they did and sweating out some of the games that they didn't drop, and then today having to sweat out Samford. Samford led for most of this game. What has happened to Chattanooga? And are they even going to get through this tournament? If they don't, despite the big win against Dayton, despite some of the other great things they've done, I don't think the committee even looks at them.
Don't forget that Western Carolina was also one of the first teams that began to begin the parade of upsets against Chattanooga in mid to late February.
Yeah,
the other team that just beat Chattanooga at home was UNC Greensboro. They just got pounded today by Furman, so yeah. I'm a little bit worried about Chattanooga tomorrow against Western Carolina. Even if they get by that, I'm worried about them in the finals as well. Let's keep going on here, though, to the West Coast Conference, John. We just saw, just as we came start of the show here, Gonzaga finished up their win over Portland. They advance, BYU does. Actually, we end up having chalk here with four pretty easy wins. Setting up a couple interesting semifinals coming up on Monday night, though. BYU, Gonzaga, and one. Those two teams split in the regular season. St. Mary's and Pepperdine, where Pepperdine swept the Gales during the regular season.
It wasn't entirely easy for St. Mary's tonight. They actually did trail Loyola Marymount after, was it a 10 or 12-point run by the Lions, but the Gales actually got a nice run of their own in the second half, and they did have a brief injury scare with Rahan, but they should be able to avenge their two losses against Pepperdine earlier tonight.
Yeah. I don't know. Lee, you mentioned doing an S-curve. I think the only one of the only team out of these four that makes the NCAA tournament is the one that wins this conference.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, watching St. Mary's tonight felt a lot like watching another one seed struggle to put away an eight seed the night before, or the day before, Wichita State against Loyola. Tonight it was St. Mary's against the other Loyola. St. Mary's did not look great. We saw how it worked out for Wichita State in the end. St. Mary's has got to play a hell of a lot better to beat a very, very sneaky Pepperdine Waves team, and certainly if they want to win the final, which they will have to do. If the West Coast Conference gets two teams, we should just abandon the entire process. This is a one-bid league all the way. Like, look, I'm a UConn fan, but when they put up Gonzaga's profile and the best win was against UConn, that I just yelled out. Like, I mean, that we have nothing to discuss.
The only win of note was against UConn. So let's,
well, and the other one was Washington. Which,
not
I
a
mean,
win of note.
Like, yeah. Come on. Like,
not anymore.
No.
All right. Let's keep going here. And, Lee, over in the Metro Atlantic today, we had the second two quarterfinals as Fairfield got by St. Peter's, and Siena got a tough effort from Manhattan, but pulled out that game as well, setting up semifinals tomorrow between Monmouth and Fairfield, Iona, Siena. Lee, I picked as my champion in this conference the Fairfield Stags.
Oh,
on the basis that, Monmouth is playing like crap right now and is going to lose tomorrow, and they're going to face Iona in the championship game, and Tim Kloos is going to Kloos.
Well, I mean, I actually don't think that's entirely a bad pick, just because I think that Fairfield over the – and it's interesting because I saw their very first game of the year when they played Yale, and they looked absolutely terrible. But as the season has gone on, this is a team that really has turned it on in MAC play. They, you know, they were kind of treading water. They were 6-7. They reeled off six straight wins. before losing at St. Peter's, which is a brutal loss. Like, that is such a freaking Sidney Johnson thing to have happen. They won six straight games and then lose the last game of the year at St. Peter's. They finished 12-8 in conference. They avenged the loss, at least, with a comfortable win in their first game at the MAC tournament over these same Peacocks. But you know what? You're right about the way Monmouth looks right now, and it's a team I really – everybody wants in the tournament, but they've got to win the MAC, I think, to get in. And tomorrow is a landmine waiting to happen.
It is.
I think Monmouth gets it, but close. It'll be high scoring. I'm thinking like 85-83 or something, maybe more. And then in the other semifinal, just the resistible force meets the movable object. a higher seeded Tim Kluse team playing Siena in Albany. I wonder how this could go. This could. There are a variety of outcomes I could see, but I don't think any of them result in Iona playing on Monday night. I think we get a Monmouth Siena title game, and that's where I think everybody gets really sad, because I think Siena wins the tournament on their home court.
Keep in mind, this is also going to be the second.
But I don't like what I'm seeing right now.
I think the committee, the real one, not ours. I think the real committee will take Monmouth.
Siena and Iona actually face in Albany, so I wouldn't give them the edge just because of the hometown crowd.
That's true. And actually, Iona gave a very good account of themselves in that game. They played well against Manhattan. I mean, Iona's playing better right now than Monmouth is, so there's that. But a very interesting turn. I mean, it's not Massachusetts, but it is Mac and cheese this year.
Yeah. We love the mac and cheese at the
Mac.
We'll move forward. And, one of my favorites here, Chad.
Yeah, we're moving over to the Summit League here. We had the first two quarterfinals tonight where Fort Wayne had a little bit of struggle with South Dakota, being that the tournament was in Sioux Falls. It wasn't that shocking that South Dakota hung with them for a bit. But the late quarterfinal, I mean, Oral Roberts should have won this game against South Dakota State, David.
Yeah, led the entire game. I don't think they weren't blowing them out, but it was semi-comfortable. It felt like it was 6, 8, 10 points all the way through. South Dakota State didn't get the lead until about a minute to go in the game. And even then, Oral Roberts had a couple of missed opportunities that could have put them ahead or put them further ahead and came up empty each time. So really sweated this one out. And this has been a South Dakota team that has been prone to stub its toes this year despite probably having the most talent out of any team in the conference.
And John, we got two more quarterfinals tomorrow. I think a real interesting game between IUPUI and North Dakota State. And then a game involving Nebraska-Omaha playing their first ever game conference tournament game as a postseason eligible program, going up against Joe Scott and his Denver Pioneers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Denver seems to be the perennially underachieving team in this league, so naturally I have a feeling they're going to win tomorrow night. And then there's North Dakota State and the next-door neighbor for Sioux Falls. They'll probably get a close win over IUPUI and ruin what would be a nice matchup between Upui and Ipfu.
God damn, I love me some Sanford Pentagon. I don't care what the sponsor name is. This tournament is a delight. It is a gift to us all and a great conclusion to a fabulous year for the Summit League. 14th in KenPom's conference ratings. That is the highest in the 13 years Ken has ranked conferences. It's been a great year for the Summit League, led by the greatness of Nebraska-Omaha, which will, tomorrow night, I agree, be crushed by a team that shouldn't even be in the freaking conference, and it's just going to ruin everything. But a great year for the Summit League. They do great things. They have a great tournament. And now, Chad, we're moving on to a league that has no idea what the fuck they're doing in the postseason tournament.
Well, I don't mind the ladder format. I do seriously mind the fact that they move this thing to Detroit. And David, I know you're a big Horizon League fan here. As far as the games, chalk held today. Not surprising. We got two games tomorrow: Green Bay, Milwaukee; Wright State, Detroit; Detroit, Oakland. I mean, Joe Louis Arena. Go for it, David.
Oh, God. It's...
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, Wright State was pathetic against both Oakland team, against both Detroit teams when they went up there on their road trip. They did look fairly good today, but it was against Illinois-Chicago, a team that the five of us could beat, or the four of us could beat. So I think Detroit gets that one tomorrow, and I like Milwaukee in the other game. And how much fun is Detroit-Oakland? As much as I hate the format and the location, I kind of like the prospect of Detroit and Oakland playing in a conference tournament in Detroit.
This is like Sisyphus trying to push a boulder all the way up the hill, watching Wright State trying to begin this gauntlet.
Yeah, well, like we said, if the one thing that they did right with this is to keep the ladder format. If you don't like having to win 4 in 4 days, finish second. And had they won in Detroit or at Oakland, they would have finished second. So,
I just want to stress again that Joe Louis Arena is a terrible hockey arena, and that the Pistons wouldn't play there. And the Horizon League said, "Yeah, no, let's go to that. Let's go with that." It's a cool looking court, but it's a terrible idea. I'll say this: they got 5,000 for Detroit Youngstown State. I'm trying to find another box score that doesn't involve a team from Detroit. I hate that they're at Joe Louis Arena. I mean, I like it a little more in terms of balance than having the top seed host, but at the same time, that's an earned right.
Oh, it absolutely is an earned right. It's better for attendance. It's better for everything. It's better for the regular season. This conference used to have a great storyline the last 3 or 4 years coming down the stretch of the regular season. And was it last year or the year before? We're going into the last week. Four teams could have still finished first.
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah, that was last year, and they killed it. It's not fair to Valpo. It's not fair to anybody. And I understand the argument, well, if you win enough, you don't need the automatic bid. Well, realistically, if you're not in one of the 9 multi-bid leagues, more often than not, you need the automatic bid. It's not fair to Valpo.
It's just for me how they came down to, we're going to change it so we can play at Joe Louis Arena. Really? Not even the Palace? Like,
we have a couple conferences that did not play today that will be in action tomorrow, and one of them is the third of our automatic bids that will be given out tomorrow. Between the Florida Gulf Coast Eagles and the Stetson North Florida Ospreys.
For North Florida.
The Stetson Hatters playing for the North Florida Ospreys in the Atlantic Sun Championship game. We've talked about this a few times. It's one of the craziest scenarios we've ever seen.
It is.
Lee, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. What do you think of this idea of having let Stetson play in this tournament and now in this crazy spot?
I'm fine with letting him play, but I'm upset that if they win, that North Florida gets the bid, and only for this reason. My dream of a simultaneous storm is no longer available. Imagine if Stetson won and Gulf Coast got the bid anyway, and both fan bases stormed the court. It's my dream. And they ruined it just to placate a team that had a good year and lost by 700 points. North Florida was abhorrent in the semifinal game against Florida Gulf Coast.
But Stetson fans and North Florida fans can rush the court together.
Yeah. I guess. But, I mean, like, North Florida played in that game like truly like a team that knew they had something in their back pocket. People wondered, like, we were looking at this wrong. The team we should have been thinking about how it affects is a team like North Florida, is the team that knew they had the backup plan. And, boy, did they play like it. I thought NGI.
If Stetson is your backup plan, you have no backup.
Well, their backup plan may come through tomorrow. Should be an interesting game. Two more games on the slate for tomorrow.
I like Florida Gulf Coast, though.
But two more games on the slate for tomorrow also that we haven't discussed yet. The semifinals in the Patriot League. American at Lehigh and Holy Cross at Army. Army Black Knights. David, your team with a shot to make it to the Patriot League championship game and possibly even host it if American pulls off the upset.
Yeah, and again, we assign teams to each other. We do it every year. It has to be a losing your screwed team. I was assigned Army. The reason being that, like, that institution embodies everything that I'm about and all of the things that I stand for. So, West Point, what? Never mind. But anyway, this would really be something if a service academy other than Air Force, who has done it before, made the NCAA tournament and got in via the automatic bid at home. I realize that in order for that to happen, three very unlikely things have to happen. Army has to win tomorrow. American has to win, and then Army has to beat American. But oh God, how incredible would it be?
Well, I'll say this: even if Lehigh wins and Army wins, the entire core will fit somehow into that building at Lehigh. Yeah. Like they will be there. I mean, it'd be cooler if they got to play at home at Christie Arena. But this is an Army team that's been very strong ever since February started. They beaten Holy Cross this year, and that was the home game. The team split the home and home. I'm very excited for this game. I think Army wins. Unfortunately for them, I do also think Lehigh wins. Lehigh is a team that they only faced once this year and lost by 10 at home. So actually, they played them twice. I forgot. They played Lehigh to start Patriot League play, and that was at a time when this was a really interesting Army team. At the time, they were 10-3. They beat Lehigh comfortably, but then they really struggled in the middle of their schedule in the Patriot League. They seem to have turned things around, though. I would make Lehigh the favorite, but I do think we'll get Lehigh Army. I don't know, John, what do you think?
I thought they did play the full round robin in the
Patriot League. They did. I forgot. Lehigh was on December 30th. I had to scroll that far up. It was their very first and very last Patriot League games were against each other.
Lehigh finished the season pretty strong, so I still think the road to the Patriot Championship is going to go through them, but certainly got to love the potential storyline in place for Army. I think they'll survive for at least one more round.
Well, on that note, let's go over to our survival board next. David, I think you're going to pull it up on your screen. This is where we were as of the start of play today, as soon as we get it up here in a couple of seconds. And this is the board that we just tweeted to the commissioner.
Wait, have you updated it yet?
No, we have not. Oh.
Heading in today, it was at 274.
I'm adding audio.
Yeah. Well, we are updating it right now. So 274. This was coming in the day. It was a very busy day.
And there is an asterisk there.
Yes.
That is for the Grand Canyon Antelopes, whose waiver we are still attempting to obtain.
Yeah.
But if we want,
maybe we'll ask Joe about that tomorrow.
I think we will, but go ahead and why don't we hit the update button here and see what happened as a result of today's games. Okay, we've got 245 teams left as we can see after some music that probably did not play as well as it was intended to be played.
Yeah, all right, I was trying to play the Jerry Lewis telethon thing, all right? It was worth a shot.
It was a bit of a fail there, but we'll move on.
Some interesting things here. Missouri Valley, Wichita State still on the board, even though they're out of their tournament. I think they're the only team that's out of their tournament that's still on the board other than North Florida.
Right. And we'll see a couple teams now have shown up in bold and all caps, those being Yale and Austin Peay having clinched spots as well.
Yeah.
That tells the committee bold and caps, they have to be in. And if you leave them out, then you just better go back and start over again.
Right, yes.
But on that note, let's run through any final thoughts here. And Lee, let me start with you. Any final thoughts for the night?
It's just fascinating to watch the bubble. I know the bubble, every year we say it's bad, and every year it's pretty much about as bad as the year before, so it's no better or worse. But this year, more than any other, I know we were talking about tournaments, but it's amazing to me how many teams just continue to keep themselves on the bubble. I mean, Syracuse today, Alabama decided they didn't want to even be in the discussion anymore, and it's just Stanford. I mean, what kind of idiot would have thought Stanford had a shot?
Yeah, no.
It's amazing to me how these teams that are near the bubble or on it just keep losing. And I feel like we're almost going to end up with the same last four that we had a month ago. And I don't think conference tournament teams, conference tournaments are really going to do much to help it. And John, also, we can stop with the LSU talk, please.
Well, absolutely. But, John, your thoughts?
Yeah, for as much as we talk about teams like Chattanooga, Stony Brook, and who is it, Hawaii, that actually finished their regular seasons with a bit of a stumble, we got to give a shout-out to SFA for finishing yet again undefeated in the Southland Conference. They still have about a week to go before they play in their conference tournament, so there's probably not going to be not as much suspense there as we'll probably see in the other three conferences coming up in the next few days.
David?
Well, I'm starting to get a little bit, I don't know, perturbed might be overstating it, but I wonder if Joe appreciates what we're trying to do for him here. We're trying to correspond with him and give him a chance to explain to our audience what's going on with the selection process, and on top of that, help him out with the selection process. I just hope this doesn't turn into another situation where we're ignored.
Yeah, we still haven't got our call back from Mark Emmert about the Loops waiver, and that's where I wanted to end with. Actually, we had 14 conferences end their regular season play today. Most of their conference tournament brackets are up on the site. We're still waiting for a couple more in the SWAC and the WAC to be released. We'll also get the Big Ten and the American brackets tomorrow. But the WAC bracket has not been released yet. I was taking a look at that, trying to make certain that the Loops were included with it so they have a shot at winning the conference tournament and getting that automatic bid through the Loops waiver. Have not seen the bracket yet. We will see it by tomorrow. WAC, pay attention to us. The Loops deserve to be in that bracket. It should be 8 teams. Make certain they're there. Hashtag
Loops. Look, I'm not a man of idle threats. This man is a barista, all right? We will take legal action if necessary. Right. We will force everyone to hold up their hand and pledge to vote for the Loops. Loops waiver. America, if you believe in justice, Loops waiver. Never waiver.
Hashtag Loops waiver. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.